Hello and welcome to Sox Talk on the Air right here at SoxTalk.com. I'm Marius Gleese coming to you from Chicago. And Jason Gage out in California is also with me, as he always is. What is up, Jason?
Not much. Hopefully you guys can hear me. I'm a little under the weather this week, but nothing is too important. I know we have fans, and the fans want to hear my voice. We don't want to be stuck with an hour-long show with just Mario, so I will be here. Oh, and I have to go with my usual intro, because it's true for the third straight week. Another week in first place, another week with the best record in baseball.
Yes.
That's your 2006 defending World Series champion Chicago White Sox. Ooh-hoo. And the defending champs made a little bit of a free agent signing. They picked up reliever Jeff Nelson. Nelson is an old man, but he's almost the right-handed version of a left-handed loogie. So we're going to call him a Roogie.
And you wonder how come he really didn't find a team beforehand. He put up some pretty strong numbers last year, his last couple of years. I mean, he's obviously not the pitcher he used to be, but he's still a pretty effective pitcher against right-handed batters.
Exactly, and he actually pitched very well with the St. Louis Cardinals this spring, and then they cut him, and it must have just been the fact that people wanted, every team that had needed help in the bullpen wanted to see if their young guys could prove things first. But last year he was in Seattle and he had a 3.93 ERA. The only thing is you got to get him out when he faces left-handed batters. You have to have him out of that game.
Yeah, I mean, well, his whole windup alone is going to make him, susceptible to being hit from left-handers. And now that he's up there in age and he doesn't have the stuff that he used to have, he's going to be hit even more so. But it's an interesting signing. Obviously, you're not putting a tremendous amount of money at him, as far as baseball goes. So, getting him, it's no big risk. The thing is now, if you get him, and let's say he pitches well in AAA, and really when you're looking at a guy like that, as long as you see that his stuff is there, you know what he could do at the major league level if he's physically there, if he's physically, throwing hard or whatever. If he were to look like he could be up at the major league level, they have to send somebody down. Who would be that guy in the bullpen if it would be a reliever at all?
It's evident. It's going to be one of two guys. Boone Logan.
Or Matt Thornton.
Or Ross Gloed.
Ross Gloed. No. Ooh, you know what? I was thinking about that from just if they weren't going to take a reliever, but I thought you were just talking about relievers alone. You're right, though.
Matt Thornton's not an option. He's pitched very well. Ozzie seems to like him. Ozzie's been putting him in pressure situations, and he doesn't have options. Logan has options.
Okay.
And Ross Gloed emerged this week. He came back to life.
Yes.
He lives. Playing in four games, but he didn't exactly do anything. Of course, it's hard. He hasn't played in a long time. It's hard for him to come out there and get going. Fact that Ozzie stuck with him for four games.
But I know it was nice, and we're going to talk about that later. But going back to Thornton and Logan, in terms of being effective, they've both pretty much been the same thing. I mean, from what I've seen, I think Thornton has more potential because he throws much harder. I feel a little more comfortable with him on the mound. But in terms of effectiveness, really hasn't been much of a difference. I mean, if you're just going to go by numbers alone, I think Logan actually has a lower ERA than him. Granted, he might have some base runners on base, but nonetheless, he's got a lower ERA than him. So, when in terms of just being producing, they've been pretty much in the same level.
I disagree. Logan may have a really good ERA, 1.86, but he's given up a lot of hits.
I know
he's
that.
He's given up
and
a lot of inherited runs. And it seems like anytime he comes out there, he's struggled. Then again, you have Thornton, and somehow he has a 1.91 whip. So I don't know if he just had one bad outing. Let me check. Do a little research here.
But my whole thing is neither of these, it's not like neither of these guys have been lights out. They've both been pretty much in the same area, I think. They've looked good at times and looked bad at times. So that's kind of where I'm coming from. So, I mean, but like you said, Thornton doesn't have any more options. If you send Thornton down, you can't. So I think if you're going to go out there and pick one guy, you're going to pick you're going to decide on a Boone Logan, but or a Ross Gloed.
Yeah. And it's tough because Logan hasn't exactly pitched consistently, and Thornton really hasn't pitched
No.
consistently to a sake. Of
And that's
course,
the thing.
Thornton
It's
had
really hard
his
to
back
gauge in,
injury.
where these guys are going to be, how productive they can be if they're getting regular work. So, and maybe, you know what, by the time they figure things out with Nelson down at AAA, maybe at that time things will be figured out a little bit more.
Yeah, I have nothing wrong with giving about 3 weeks because Nelson hasn't pitched since spring training, but obviously he's in playing shape. He had to be for spring training, and he could get ready pretty quick, I'm sure. But there's no harm in giving him 3 weeks and see if things settle up here because the last thing you want to do is drop someone that ends up that could have been, the big thing. And it's not like we are in an urgent time here and we need to make a move because our bullpen has actually been better than I thought it would be.
Yes. And that's the thing, having seven relievers down there, if they were to go out there and dump a position player, which would be Glode, having seven relievers in that pen, I've never been a fan of that. Unless you really have a poor rotation where you need a lot of relievers to come in, early in games. But when you're looking at the Sox rotation, three of the guys are have been lights out. By that I mean Contreras, Vasquez, and Burley. Garland and Garcia are getting by. Garland's been improving. Garcia's, he's been decent. When you have five starters like that, seven relievers, I think all you're going to do is create a situation where half of them aren't going to be used much at all. So I would hope that they would stick with six relievers some way and just go from there. And you know what? If they have to get rid of a Boone Logan, then he's the guy they got to dump.
Yeah, I think you're pretty much right on with that. Well, first, let's just let Nelson prove that he can get AAA batters out,
Yeah, and
and then
then
Ozzie can make that decision
yes,
when
then we
that
have that
comes.
problem, and maybe it'll be a pretty good problem if all the relievers pitch up to their capabilities. It'll be a nice problem to have, hopefully. Now we got a kind of what is this inside sourcing? We have a little, some breaking news possibly.
Yeah, we're gonna scoop everyone right
A
here.
scoop.
So
That's what it's
prepare.
called. We're hearing that Jose Contreras might have a little bit of a back problem. Maybe. We don't know for sure, but he may have a little bit of a back problem. This really hasn't been reported yet, or hasn't really been talked about. Maybe the Sox are hiding, I don't know, but he may have a bit of a back problem. If this is the case, and obviously a back problem is never something you want to ignore or overlook, especially when it comes to pitchers. But if he, let's say, does have a back problem, that could be a pretty rough thing for this staff. Especially, obviously maybe make things easier from the bullpen if McCarthy goes into the rotation or whatever, but having Contreras having some back problems as dominating he's been, that concerns me a little bit.
I figure, being the fact that he's probably 52 years old, back problem is normal for a guy that
Probably.
age.
I would think so.
But hold on, let me take some breaths. Let me calm back down here. But he's pitched so great that I can't think it'd be anything serious. And if it is back problem, it's probably something he's had for a long time. Probably one of those long-term type deals.
And you may be right. Do you think if this is something that maybe was that has come up recently, do you think it would have anything to do with his maybe delivery, him dropping down a little bit more? Don't you think that would put more stress on his back?
No.
No.
I think he'd be fine either way, and I think this has probably been a condition the Sox knew about when they gave him a contract, and I'm confident that their doctors feel that this is just something where, sure, he's going to have back pain, but it's not going to prevent him from pitching.
Breaking news, Contreras is out for the season.
Yeah, you wish.
No, I
You
wouldn't wish.
wish.
I only reason I would wish that is just so you would just be like,
Then we could be Mets fans jumping off the buildings because they just lost yet
Victor
another starting
Zambrano?
rotator. Yeah.
Who is. They lost another one?
No, that just Victor Zambrano.
Oh, okay. I know they might be getting Odalis Perez. I know the Dodgers have been talking about him, but we're getting off the subject now. Speaking of injuries, though, with the Sox, one injury that is known and that is out there is Jermaine Dye. He's been out for, what, over a week now. It's been maybe almost
Yeah.
2 weeks. He's been nagging, at least, because I know he said about 2, 3 days he came back, left the game halfway through, and he's been out since, and, Ross Gold has been playing for him. But Jermaine Dye, these little
And
nagging injuries, and he had a couple in little these nagging injuries last year, didn't he?
he had the spider bite, but that was about it.
Spider bite.
But apparently, according to our sources, his calf is still very swollen, and he's not going to be playing the next day or two. So I think it's time to put him on the disabled list, make sure he gets healthy,
Ooh,
and
DL.
call up a Jerry Owens, or if you want to call up, we have some veterans down in the minors that we can call up as well.
Well, how does it work with the retroactive list? Because he's really been hurt for a couple weeks now, but he played that one game where he played a few innings. So I don't think they would have to wait. I think if they would have to make the DL retroactive to anything, it would have to be the day after that little short little game he had.
It would have started April 31st. If there was, is there an April 31st?
Yes. No, is there? There's no April 31st.
No, there isn't. So it'd be retroactive to May 1st because he played April 30th.
Okay.
And in fact, he's played April 30th is the he
Well,
played like the 6 or 7 games before that
he played. He
too.
did play May 2nd. He did play in the Cleveland game. He ended up getting a
Oh
walk.
yes, you are
So,
correct.
yeah, I mean, so that's gonna. If you're gonna put him in the DL, you don't want to put him on the DL for 15 straight days because he might
Yeah,
be
I was gonna
ready.
say.
He might be ready in 5 days.
Yeah, it's too soon to put him on the DL. Now that I look at the days, I was wrong. It's just been 3
I mean,
days, so if you put him
if this is something
retroactively.
that, let's say, goes back to April 27th or so, or April 28th, where he would already have, what, 8, 9 days under the belt, I have no problem with that. Especially if you got guy in the minor leagues, so you're not necessarily worried about bringing him up and wasting an option on him or whatever it's called. But I, yeah, considering he last played on May 2nd, I think you just have to. Keep him on the team, especially when you have guys like Ross Glode, who hasn't played at all. I mean, he's finally starting to get some regular playing time, but really, with that, even expecting him to do anything after such a long time just sitting on the bench, I think was pretty foolish.
And as much as we like Ross Glode, I don't think you'll be seeing him in the next couple games. I think you'll be seeing a lot more Mikowiak as opposed to Glode.
I would think so too. I mean, he's what? He's played since He's played the second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth. He's played 4 straight games. He's only got 2 hits. He's got 2 hits in what? 2 hits in 12 and 13 at bats. So he's not exactly killing the ball, but like I said, he hasn't played at all. Prior, I think in the month of April, how many at bats did he have in the month of April? He had 5 at bats the entire month. And that's not a lot considering how often Ozzie Guillen uses his bench.
No,
Guillen is a guy
it's.
who uses Ozuna, uses Mikowiak, he uses Cintron a lot. So kind of like Glode getting 5 at bats, that doesn't make no sense.
It's evident that Glode is going to be literally used, and I think it's something we're just going to have to come down to. And Glode is going to have to work extra hard on the cages and just try to keep his timing up and be as prepared as possible. But
And
maybe
really.
we will see him play another game or two because I'm not a big Mikowiak fan. I've watched a lot of him, and I've yet to see him get on one of his streaks. I know he had a 3-hit game a while back
Yeah.
in against Cleveland, but aside from that, he really hasn't done much.
No, he hasn't. He hasn't. And maybe it is just waiting for him to get hot because when he does get hot, he's really not just a bench player, then he's more or less like a starter. But as a bench player, he's got to be consistent.
But he could be one of those guys that, sure, he can play in the limelight at Pittsburgh where you have no pressure and no one's watching
That might
you.
be it too.
But when you play in Chicago and you're on a defending world champion team, you have a bit more pressure, and maybe he's succumbing to that. He's not used to being in these spotlights where it actually matters.
That could be it too. I mean, it could be that, or it could be just the fact that he's struggling, and he's starting off slow, and he's gonna get hot, and everything will be fine from then on out. But you could be right. You could definitely be right. Or maybe there's something he was doing in Pittsburgh that because a lot of times you look at it from the outside and you might see a guy's numbers, but then within those numbers, somebody who's watching the Pirates every day might see something different in him. I might see an inconsistent player. Who knows? But sticking with the outfield, Scott Pecenik, he has been, considering how low he was batting, I think he was batting 79 at one point. I think halfway through April, he was batting .079, which is atrocious, which is horrible. He's now up to what, 261?
Yep.
That's a hell of a jump in
He's
such a
made a lot
short
of
time.
strides. He's been getting a lot of hits. The only thing he really hasn't done still is steal
Yep.
bases
He's got eight
efficiently.
stolen bases, and four of them came in one game. Came in May 1st
Against
against the
Victor
Cleveland,
Martinez.
against Victor Martinez, who anybody could steal against, I believe. So
Yeah.
when it comes to stealing bases, he's been thrown out five times. His strikeouts, he's got what, 13 Ks to 8 walks. That's not something you want to see out of the leadoff hitter. At the same time, though, the fact that he's batting 261 after his start, that's pretty damn impressive. His at bats look so much better. He actually, I would have to go and say is if you look at this maybe the last 2, 3 weeks, he looks like a better offensive player, and simply by going off the plate, not necessarily a stolen base, but he's looked like he's a better offensive player this year than he was last year, as far as just hitting the ball with some authority consistently.
Yeah, he's been hitting the ball well. He actually has eight doubles already as a triple. He's got a little bit more extra base power, and he seems to be finding the gaps a lot more than he did at all
Yep.
last year because he was
And
pretty much a
I'm
singles
seeing him
guy.
drive the ball down that right field line a lot more. Because usually last year, a lot of his hits were just kind of grounders up the middle or little flare shots over to shortstop side. In this case, he's hitting the ball with a little more authority than last year, which is nice to see. And I think that's the one positive. But once again, eight stolen bases and four of them coming in one game. Another two coming in one game, too. I mean, so he's all of his bases have come all of his stolen bases have come in four games this year. That's not good. That's not really positive at all. So he's really got to get going on that end because he's not you go you he gets on base and you really don't feel like he's going to steal. And if he does, you feel he's going to get thrown out.
Yeah, and that's been the case since last season, late last season, after his tremendous first half.
Since
He
about
just
August
hasn't been the
1st.
same player since then, yeah.
All right,
And
well.
speaking of walks, it's kind of funny that our rookie Brian Anderson has in fewer at bats has drawn two more walks than Scott Pesenik. Of course he
Okay.
is hitting 167, but
Yeah.
I'm just trying to look on the bright side of things when it comes to Brian Anderson. And he had a few more web gems this week. He's just playing tremendously defensively. And he's despite his average, and I've seen a lot of people calling saying he should be benched, that he's not ready. We don't have anyone else that can come up here and do anything. What, you want Rob Mikowiak and his 182 batting average
Yeah,
and his piss poor defense in center
you have
field?
to stick with Anderson for I think for the next month you have to stick with him. I mean, if you want to go out there and have Anderson play, I mean, have Mikowiak play here and there, I think that's fine. But I think for the rest of this month, for the rest of May, you have to have Anderson playing out there regularly. See how he's progressing offensively. Defensively, we've already talked about it. He's impressed both of us, and really, I didn't think he would be anywhere near where he's at now. But I say if you give him a month. And if he's struggling, like you said, there's no other option before, then maybe you look under the trade market and you see, is there any outfielder out there that we could maybe go out there and try to trade for?
And the only guy I can think of that would come cheaply is a guy playing in Los Angeles, and he played here prior to this, and that would be the Senior Kenny Lofton, and that's not really an option.
Well, I think
We
that
want defense first.
yes. And really, Lofton, I think he's had a history of being more or less a clubhouse problem. And that's obviously been one type of thing that the Sox have kind of strayed away from over the last couple of years, as they're trying to get certain types of players in there. So I don't know if Lofton would fit that mold as far as chemistry goes.
No, and I don't want Kenny Lofton.
Yes. And speaking of chemistry,
I want Brian Anderson to be allowed to develop.
Yes. Well, speaking of chemistry, we've obviously have lacked some today with you being sick and us just being generally out of it. So we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to get into Juan Uribe and his, oh God, he's even bad. Oh, it really breaks my heart to see him this bad because I love him as a ball player. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Sox Talk on the Air. As you already know, I'm a little bit under the weather, so bear with us today.
Yes. Give props to you
Quickly.
for battling and toughing it up today.
I figure Michael Jordan was at his finest when he was sick. Does that mean my radioisms is going to get better?
Comparing yourself to Michael Jordan. Wow.
Well, yeah, I want a Nike contract.
Yeah.
I think it works well. I can tell people what kind of Nike shoes I'm wearing as I do the radio show. They can get a good visual picture.
A good visual picture. Well, Juan Uribe, he's my favorite player on the Sox, favorite player to watch. I just love watching him play defense. I love watching him at the plate, but he has been absolutely horrible, horrible popping pitches up. He's way ahead of the off-speed pitches, way behind the fastball. He just doesn't seem to have any idea really what he's doing up there. I think it's time for a little benching of him.
Yeah, I think you're right. He is just so far out in front of every single pitch he's thrown that he's got no chance if it's a breaking ball. Most fastballs, he's got no chance because his hands are already out in front of him. And even though he's usually out a little quick anyway, he's just way too quick right now to even
Yes.
hit anything successfully. And it's time. I think you're right. Not just one game. Sit him 2 or 3 games
Yes.
and let him just relax and calm back down. Hopefully Walker can work with him and get him held back.
Yes.
If we need to, call Walt Reniac back up, work on his little leg tap for timing issues to help him
Yeah.
keep back, and just try to, drill into his head and get him just back focused on that again.
Yeah, because I was
And during
hoping.
that time we
Go ahead.
during that time we have Cintron, and we also have Pablo Azuna, and each of them will get some time there. They're both quality bench players.
Yeah. And today, we're doing a show on Monday. The Sox have Monday off. I was kind of hoping that they would have sat him this past weekend against the Royals, so then he would have got 3 straight days off plus the Monday off, and then start him back up against the Angels. But with the Twins staff struggling, I mean, maybe yesterday's start by Santana is a sign of things to come. But with the Twins staff struggling so much, maybe you sit him this LA, sit him this series against the Angels. So he sits Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Bring him back this weekend against the Twins, and who knows? Maybe if the Twins staff is still struggling, maybe it helps out Uribe enough to where we can get into some type of rhythm because he is a streaky player. And so I would like to see him benched for this next upcoming series. You get Cintron in, you get Ozuna in, especially Ozuna, who really hasn't played much of the infield this year. He's pretty much been in left field for the most part. And considering he's batting over .500, I believe, you should try to get him some more playing time. So I'd like to see him bench for a series.
Yeah, like I said, I'm not at all against that. Especially the only thing with Ozuna is he's substandard defensively, kind of wherever you put him.
Yeah, and I think it's the same for Cintron. I'm really neither of them. I'm completely comfortable with them at shortstop, but to get that offense in there, I think it's worth it for a few games. Now, I'm not saying long term. I think long term, Uribe's got to be a shortstop because his defense is simply too good. But I think for a 3-game series for 3 4 days, I don't think it's any problem going out there and getting a bat of Ozuna or Cintron in the lineup.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And hopefully, when we play Minnesota, Uribe at least get to face his boy Carlos Silva.
He's had some success against him, right?
Yeah, I think he's hitting
Maybe
like 500 against
that's
him.
what he needs. Maybe he needs a little Silva. Now, speaking of, we were talking about Ozuna a little bit. The Sox are obviously what 21-9. They got the best record in baseball, but I'm sure there's some people who are concerned about the whole small ball thing and how they've kind of gotten away from that. I mean, people could say whatever they want. They have been more reliant on the home run this year. I know I have some problems with it, and maybe it's just me being negative in it, but I do have some problems with them being a little homer happy this year. When it comes to small ball, I think it was yesterday, I believe. Yesterday they would try to make a squeeze play with Ozuna on third base. Aguchi tried to lay down a bunt, completely botched it.
Yeah, he popped that thing up.
And I know there were some fans, I guess, who were a bit upset, and they were calling in the post game show after the game yesterday, upset that Guillen would even attempt something like that.
Yeah, those fans who were. This is me not calling Mario wrong, but the fans wrong. This is a good move. The squeeze play is about as effective of a play as there is. All you gotta do is get that bunt down with Ozuna's speed, and you gotta run. It's a guarantee. And I realize we have Jim Thome on deck, but I know the White Sox, and just doing this, it keeps pressure and makes the opposing manager have to consider that at any possible time there's a runner on third and less than two outs, that we may go with the squeeze play.
Yes.
And that means that they have to bring that third baseman just a little bit more in, especially with a guy like Aguchi at the plate, or if we have someone on third base with some speed. And it just opens things up. It's always good to have options, and it's always good to make managers have to think a lot. And with Ozzy out there and managing our team and the way we play, managers don't exactly know what's going to happen, so they have to plan for almost everything.
Yeah.
And with that, they give up a little bit.
Yeah. And, you know, last year the Sox had over 200 home runs, and you know, a lot of people made that point, oh, they had 200 home runs, so they were still a part of the team. But last year, one thing that I liked about the Sox is that they knew how to score a variety of different ways. They could either hit the home run, they could get a barrage of hits, or they could do squeeze plays. They probably did a squeeze play a couple times last year. Don't you remember them doing it a few times last year, especially with Ozuna? I think we've done. Yeah, so they have that ability to score. You know, sacrifice flies, I think Uribe and Carl Everett were both among league leaders in sacrifice flies last year. So they were able to get the sacrifice flies. God knows how many times Aguchi got Pitsenik over to third base, you know, with the ground ball a second. They were able to do that. They were able to hit the home runs. They were able to get hits back to back to back. They were able to do squeeze plays. This year, and not to necessarily knock this team, because once again, they have the best record in baseball, but this year they don't seem to have that one, those other aspects. It just seems to be getting hits back to back or hitting a home run. And I do have a little bit of a problem with that.
I think you have a bit of a misconception, though. Sure, we haven't done a ton, like three squeeze plays already, but Ozzy's been bunting. Ozzy's let his guys run, like he still does. We haven't been as successful at it, but you forget one aspect of this whole Ozzy ball. And it's when you have a runner on second base to get the ball over to the right side of the infield. Get that guy to third base. And we still do that. We do it better than almost any team in baseball. And it's those little things that don't usually get considered with small ball, but I just call playing baseball, being smart and getting guys over, that have gone unnoticed by most fans this year. And we're going to hit 200 home runs again this year. But at the same time, those games we don't hit the home runs, we need to use use our ability to execute to make sure we win those low-scoring games where we can't hit the home runs.
But that's where I'm kind of getting at. I mean, I totally get where you're coming from. I do think that there's some of that going on where the approach is there. But I think, I don't know, for some reason I'm looking at this team, I'm looking at a lot of their at-bats, and last year it seemed like the home run was not a top priority within their swings. When you just look at their swings, you look at their approach, it just didn't seem, outside of maybe, I would say Przinski's last year, his priority was hit home runs. I think every once in a while he didn't, but I think for the most part, Przinski was trying to pull the ball more so last year than this year, and I think you would agree with me on that, right?
Yeah, definitely.
But I think for the most part, the team approach was to just put the ball in play, you know, try to get guys over, try to hit sacrifice flies, but it seems like this year, it's not really the same thing. And once again, maybe I'm just, I'm looking at it the wrong way, I don't know, but it seems like they're a little bit too much homer happy.
I think for the most part, you're just looking at it the wrong way.
Okay.
But
that's always good.
That's not to say it's still early in the season and we still have to improve, because even though we're playing the best right now, we're going to have to be playing better in October because teams are going to be better then. I mean, that's the fact of the matter. You get better as the season goes on, or someone does. You know, some teams are going to get worse as the season goes on.
Yes.
But we're going to have to improve and continually to improve all season long, to the point that we are back in there playing baseball in October and able to win those close games, because we did a very good job of that last postseason. We did a great job of it all season. And so far this year, we've done a good job in a lot of games, but there have been a few games, and they've been the games we've lost, where we have not done it at all.
And I think that's kind of where I'm coming from is, you know, you've seen a few games this year where they end up losing, you know, 5-4, and their four runs that all come on, you know, three home runs and then, you know, one two-run homer or something, or, you know, three home runs, one of them being a two-run homer, something along those lines. And I just wish that they would be able – you know, I think a good example is early in their season, how many times did the Sox have 5-6-run innings? I think they've had a few 5-6-run innings so far this year. And I think last year they didn't do it at all. If you remember last year, I think it took them halfway through the season before they got a 5-run inning, I believe.
Yeah, I think that was the game where we came back against Arizona.
Yeah, and I what I liked about that offense so much is that, yeah, they weren't scoring 5, 6 runs an inning, but they were scoring a run here. They would score a run in the first inning. They would score another run in the third or fourth inning. Then they would score another run in the sixth or seventh inning. They would just score enough runs throughout the game. And it this year just doesn't seem that way. And you know, maybe it's gonna change for me. Maybe it's just, you know, maybe they're hitting the ball so well right now that they obviously don't need to do that small stuff, but I'd like to see that implemented a little bit more.
I think we're still doing the small stuff. It's just any game, you're gonna have games where you're not able to do it.
I do
I mean,
agree.
you're gonna lose games. It's just inevitable. And when you play 162 games of baseball,
All right, well, the
and
Sox,
people
they.
should not be upset with Ozzie. I just want to finish the whole original subject, which was being upset about that whole squeeze play. Fans that are upset about that, they may be those statistical people that tell me that. Oh, you know, you have to steal at a certain percentage to make things effective. You need to do this at a certain percentage. And OPS is God.
I believe
OPS is what wins World
that's
Series.
all bullshit. Watch a game and you won't and you won't believe that.
If OPS is what wins World Series, then Pablo Ozuna and his 13-some-odd hundred OPS should be pulling every single game, right?
Yeah. He's not a bench player.
Exactly. But now let's look at what we had. Well, quickly, we'll recap the last
Yeah,
week. We already know we
they
have the
were
best
five
record
and
in
two last
baseball.
week. You know, we did a show on Tuesday, so you know it came after that first win against the Indians. But they end up going 5-2. They split with the Indians, took lost one to the Royals, swept the Mariners, getting back for them. I didn't believe the Mariners took 2 out of 3 the first time they met, so they kind of got back at them. They went 5-2 this past week. They weren't facing great competition because the Mariners are still have a lot of issues. The Royals have a whole bunch of issues, so it wasn't necessarily a hard week for the Sox outside of the Indians.
Definitely not. It's going to be a little bit tougher of a week, but at the same time, the Angels have been struggling. And Minnesota has been playing real bad, except they did get 2 wins against Detroit.
And who knows, maybe that'll get them going. And I hope so. I hope it does get them going, because I'd like to see this division get really competitive, and I'd like to see the Sox playing a tough Twins team this coming weekend.
Yeah, I'd like to see us play a tough Twins team, but I'd like to see us beat them. And I think we'll be taking 2 out of 3 in each series.
Well, actually, the Twins series extends it to Monday, so it'll be a 4-game series. So,
Ooh.
yeah. So let's say three out of four from the Twins, and then what, 2 out of 3 from the Angels.
Yeah,
I
that's
think
gonna be
that's.
tough to do, but it's possible. If anyone could do it, our Chai Sauce can.
Oh God.
And I think
Oh
I'm
God.
my voice is going out, so I think I'm gonna have to quit on all the fans. We did get through all our topics,
Yes.
but you won't see me try to drag the show on just to piss off Mario this week. I apologize. But remember to check out our other sites, talkbulls.com, talkbears.com, and talkbeehawks.com. And we'll be back next week, and hopefully it'll be a more spunky show.
Yes. Well,
So
thanks
thanks for
for
listening.
listening. See ya.